You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I couldn't be more pleased to have with us a friend and much admired colleague, Bishop E.W. Jackson, truly one of the most extraordinary and accomplished men I know. He was a Marine Corps veteran, an attorney, a graduate of the Harvard Law School, a Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. He is a senior fellow at the Family Research Council, a bishop of the Called Church. But he's also the president and founders of several important organizations, including STAND, which stands for Staying True to America's National Destiny, and also Veterans Taking a Stand. Bishop, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio, my friend. It's good to have you with us.
Well, it's very kind of you. That's a kind introduction, Frank. Thanks, Pastor.
Heartfelt and fully deserved. Let me ask you about one thing that you've been working on that I think desperately needs the kind of attention you're giving at EW, and that is President Obama's retooling of the oath of citizenship for those who would become part of our citizenry in this country. What is up with that, and what are the implications?
Well, first of all, Frank, I don't understand why the Congress isn't up in arms over this, why this hasn't gotten more attention, because it's truly extraordinary for a president of the United States, of all the things that he's got to think about, all the things that he has to do, that he actually focuses on changing the oath of citizenship for new citizens so that they do not, and in fact, this is not even religious. They say as long as you have a religious objection, you don't have to belong to a particular denomination or religion. So this is just something that's personal to you. You don't have to make a commitment to take up arms in behalf of our country. And first of all, to me, that is an insult to every veteran. It's an insult to every person who supports our military. But it's also, to me, an invitation to Muslims from around the world who have a problem with America's foreign policy, who believe that somehow it is anti-Muslim and they don't want it. They want to come to the country and enjoy its benefits, but they don't want to take up arms. Now, that's just my speculation because I don't understand what even brought him to consider that he would change the oath in that way. So to me, that's the only explanation.
Bishop E.W. Jackson of the Called Church is with us. He is a man of many parts, including a Marine Corps veteran, now with STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. And Bishop, one of the things that you were speculating about there is something that there's reason to speculate about, given the lengths to which this president has gone to accommodate, to appease, certainly to make apologies for Islamic supremacists in this country as well as elsewhere. You have called for his resignation over this, among other aspects of his misconduct. When you say that, you clearly are calling for this on the basis of this larger record, not just this citizenship thing, but you're absolutely right. Where is the outrage in the Congress and more broadly across the country? Are you finding it?
Well, I'm certainly finding it among veterans who understand that this president seems to be systematically dismantling our military, undermining it in every possible way, both in terms of materials and in terms of morale. Look, we call for the president's resignation because we found such outrage among veterans and others that we were trying to find a way to express that would dramatize just how destructive we believe he is. And, of course, there's no appetite for impeachment in the Congress. And we thought by calling for his resignation, it is a cry of help. It is saying this president is so bad that we really believe that he needs to take the extraordinary step of resigning. Now, we know he's not going to do that, but we want to tell people, to try to galvanize people, that over the next 18 months or so, this president could bring horrible, cataclysmic destruction upon this country because of his policies.
Yeah. And, that's really one of the things that I'm seized with, EW, is that the more he's accommodated, the more he gets away with these outrages, the more emboldened he is. I mean, it's a classic sort of totalitarian or even bully kind of response. You'll see more worse behavior, and it may even be cataclysmic, particularly with this Iran deal hanging over our heads. You have done one other thing, and that is to generate a no confidence petition, you call it. How do people find out about that, E.W. Jackson?
Well, they can go to our website at standamerica.us and sign the petition. Look, we've done nothing but post it, and we've had hundreds of people sign them, mainly veterans. But look, we don't have any confidence in this president as commander-in-chief or on any other level. To me, he has undermined and trampled the Constitution of the United States. He has been completely dismissive of the interests and concerns of the American people. This last thing, even with, you know, he's wholesale change energy policy so as to drive up energy prices for the average American. I mean, he just does these things, as you say, in a kind of totalitarian way, as if he is a dictator rather than being the leader of a democratic republic, a constitutional republic. So people can go to the website and sign the petition, and we're going to present these positions to Congress.
Let me ask you about this military. Given your background, Bishop E.W. Jackson, you have rightly called attention to what I think you're describing as the LGBT military. Remind us what that stands for. And what are the implications for the good order and discipline, the morale, the readiness of armed forces that, sadly, for all the reasons you've mentioned, we're likely to need even more in the future than we do today, given the state of the world?
Yeah, the lesbian, transgender, bisexual military is what the president is creating for us. And it's sad. You know, I live in the Norfolk area, and of course, we've got the largest naval base in the world here, lots of military people around here. And I can tell you that the military people that I talk to, and there are many, are completely dismayed. I mean, morale, statistically, they say morale is at an all-time low in the military. It's dropped from about 60% having confidence that military leaders were helpful and encouraging to about 27% now. And it's because this president is much more interested in turning the military into some sort of sexual experiment than he is in making it the finest fighting force in the world.
Is it sexual experiment, sir, or is it really that he's trying to transform fundamentally, if you will, one of our most important institutions in the hope that that will in turn impose those sorts of transformations on the society more broadly? Is that really what's at work here? Not just kind of a wrecking operation against the military, which is bad enough, but trying to sort of, you know, repurpose or retool, at least, do over the United States itself as a society.
Well, sure. I don't think he wants the military to be militarily effective because I don't think he believes in it. I don't think he believes in its mission because, frankly, and I know this sounds extreme, but it's what I believe in my heart. I don't think he fundamentally believes in the nature of this country or its mission. And so undermining the military, which is one of the most central institutions in our country, to me, is part of this whole promise of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. You know, the Secretary of Defense, and I'm sure you know this, your listeners may not, put out a memorandum, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago, in which he talked about dealing with this whole transgender issue. And he said, we will begin with the presumption that open practice of transgenderism in the military will in no way have a negative effect on morale and good order. So he said, we will begin with that presumption. So it's clear what they're going to do.
Don't bother me with the facts, as it were. And, you know, one of the things, E.W., as you're talking about kind of this wrecking operation, in my words, I was struck by a piece written by a frequent guest here, Dr. Paul Kenger. I believe it appeared at the American Interest just this week. And it talks about what the background of this president is, a sort of red diaper baby, and that of background of Valerie Jarrett. And it's no stretch to say, as you have, that this is, in fact, their purpose to take down this military of ours because they don't believe in it. And they think that it is, in fact, an impediment to the kind of reordering of the world that they think is needed. Bishop Jackson, I can't tell you how much I appreciate both your time today and the work that you are doing and have done in uniform and in the cleric's collar as well for our country. Keep it up, my friend, and come back to us again if you would very soon.
Thank you, Frank, and the admiration is mutual. You keep it up, too.
Thank you. Doug Lamborn is up next, Congressman from Colorado. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.